Kids, you got to love them. My goodness. First words out of my mouth this morning, early, was "He is risen." Unfortunately, I was referring to my grandson who got up and was shaking me in the bed. And I says, "No one ought to be up at this hour." But when he did finally wake me up, I was able to say, "He is risen," referring to the Lord. It's a brand new day today, a brand new day. And with every new day, there's new opportunities. You and I have never experienced today. We've experienced a past history, but we've never experienced today. Today has all sorts of possibilities. God's going to do something today among us. He's going to do something in you, and he's going to do something in me. As I was brought up as a little kid, my mom and dad always saw fit to buy me something new at Christmas. On Easter. Christmas too, but on Easter. And generally, it would not be a toy, it'd be some clothing because we didn't have a lot of money, but they'd buy me a new shirt, they'd buy me new pants or some new shoes. I bought myself a new jacket for today, so I guess I'm keeping in tradition. My oldest son said I'm outdated, so I need to try to get up to speed. And I don't even know if my parents were aware of it, but what it signified was it is a new time, a new beginning. If you're here today and you need a new beginning, you came to the right place. Because this is a place where not just Koinonia, there are other places as well, but Jesus offers brand new beginnings to you, for you. My name is Tim Howard, and I'm privileged to be the lead pastor here at Koinonia Christian Fellowship, and it's awesome to celebrate Jesus with you. Just awesome to be able to focus on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't separate those two. No matter how thinly you slice something, you have two sides. There's a heads and there's a tails. There's a death and there's a resurrection. Jesus made a powerful statement in John chapter 8, and it's this statement that kind of gave me the impetus to talk with you about a thing called freedom. If I were to sum up the message of the cross, which is probably impossible to do, I would sum it up with one word. If I were to use one word, the word would be freedom. Now, you might use another term, and that would be perfectly legitimate. But for me, the term freedom captures the message of the cross and the resurrection. He made a statement in John chapter 8, 32, and it's kind of the key verse for this morning. It says this. It says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Just a few weeks later, in John chapter 14, in an upper room, he talked to the disciples. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you want to know about the real God, there are a lot of gods in our world, but if you want to know about the real God, you come to Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, the life." And he talks about the truth. When you get to know Jesus, you'll be set free. And in that same chapter, John chapter 8, verse 36, he says, "And when the Son sets you free, you're going to be free indeed." How many of you know it's easy to get bound up in life? It's easy to get stuck. I've been stuck on a number of occasions, and I've learned one thing. You always need someone to help you get unstuck. Every time I break down in my car, I call, "Donna, can you come give me a ride? Tow truck, can you come and get me out of the mud?" There's always someone that's needed. It's easy to get stuck in life. Some people, even here today, you might be stuck in an addiction problem. You might be stuck in an abusive relationship. You've heard the old adage, get stuck between a rock and a hard place. You might be stuck today between a rock and a hard place. For those of you who are older like me, you might remember back in 1972 a song entitled "Stuck in the Middle with You." It's about a relationship that's been going on long term, not necessarily marriage, but just a relationship. And it's lost its spark. And when you are in a long-term relationship and it has no spark, it can feel like you're stuck. And you want it to be free from that. Well, we can get stuck in a lot of things. The Bible talks about you and me getting entangled in sin, caught by sin, trapped by sin. It doesn't use the word stuck, but that's really what it means. It means paralyzed. We're caught and we can't move. We're restricted, almost like those handcuffs that are on the front, the picture of the handcuffs that are on the front of your bulletin. When a police officer comes and he puts some handcuffs on, it restricts you. I've never been arrested, never had handcuffs on, but I know they put them behind their back, and they can still function and still move, but they're not free to do what they want to do. And that's what happens in life. We get bound up with things. And God has come to earth, died for us, rose again to set us free. God wants to set you free today. He wants to set me continually more and more free all the time. I'd like to focus today on three dimensions of freedom that God offers us. And to do that, I'd like to have you participate by taking those pink wristbands in your bulletin. And first of all, separate all three of them, if you would. Now, no one's going to come down to you, and no one's going to put a gun to your head saying you have to do this. No one will check if you are or not. But I just want to invite you to participate, because these three wristbands are going to represent the three points of freedom, dimensions of freedom that God offers us from three specific areas of bondage. I'm going to ask you to take one of the wristbands at this point, and they look kind of like a hospital band, and I'm going to ask you to put it on your left wrist. Put it around your left wrist and fasten it, if you would. More difficult for some people like myself. But once you get it done, it's going to kind of look like this. You're just going to have it on your wrist like this. And this wristband on your left arm now represents the first dimension where God wants to bring us freedom from. He wants to free you and me from our past. He wants to free you and me from yesterday's pain. God came in human form, born, lived among us, revealed himself through Jesus, died on the cross, and then he was raised again by the power of the Father, and he did all of that for you and me so that we could be free from yesterday's pain.
Morning.
Hey, did you look at the mail from yesterday?
Did not even glance. Why?
You got a letter from Random House Publishing.
Are you serious?
Can I read it?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Dear Mr. Baker, we wish to thank you for submitting your manuscript. Unfortunately, at this time, we are not. I'm sorry.
Don't be.
Talk to me.
What's the point?
Look, you'll try again.
Try again? Try again? I've been trying, Karen. For 4 years I've been trying. I've sent out, what, over 50 manuscripts? 100 letters of inquiry? And for what? I can't even get a single letter of interest. Dad was right.
About what?
That the closest thing I would ever get to selling a book would be by working in a bookstore?
You can't think like that.
How can't I? I mean, here's the evidence. I'm a failure, Karen. I'm never going to make enough money to get us a house. I'm never going to get out of my deadbeat job. I'm never going to be anything different than I was 4 years ago when everyone told me I was a fool to think I could actually make it in this business. I'm sorry. I've let you down.
Look. We're getting by just fine. You're working as hard as you can. You're investing all your spare time into writing. I believe you can do it, Rick. You know I wouldn't just say that.
It was just a stupid dream, Karen. I should have taken that job your brother offered me. At least then we'd have enough money to have a savings at this point. 4 years, Karen. What a pathetic waste. We could have been more than this, Karen. I should have been more.
Disappointments, they can paralyze you, can't they? Can I see your hands of anybody who's ever been disappointed before? Sometimes you get disappointed by people. Sometimes the church will let you down. Government lets you down periodically. Get disappointed. Make that call. You write that script, and it's turned down. You try and you try again. You get turned down again and again. You're in sales. We're in difficult economic times, and you're in sales, and you make those calls, and they hang up on you. You go to the door, and they shut the door in your face. All of a sudden, you can be a little tentative and gun-shy, and you don't want to step out, and you're caught in the past disappointment, and you're reticent to move in ahead into your future. Sometimes we can get caught in our past sins. I know there are things that I've done that I'm not proud of. And if I had you raise your hands, I think that every hand would go up too. We all have a history. We all have a dark side. We all have got some baggage. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. And for a long time, I walked in guilt. I walked in shame. I walked with the condemning voice. Who do you think you are? You can't, will never become anything because of what you've done. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're caught in this quagmire of sin and guilt and shame and condemnation, and you can't get free. You see, that's why Jesus came, is to set us free from our past, to set us free from those things that have caught us and we're bound. See, that's what this represents. It's our past. There's something that catches us, and we can't move on because of our past. Is there anything in your past that has caught you? Is there anything that, when it comes to mind, it hurts and you don't like to think about it? You don't like to talk about it, because when it comes to mind, it's like a knife that goes inside of you? Is there anything in your past you try to avoid? When you can see it, but when it comes into focus, you kind of look the other way. We don't want to deal with the past. There's certain things that catch us. And there's someone that God sent. He himself came, revealed himself through Jesus Christ, died on the cross, rose again to set you and me free from my past, from yesterday's pain. There's a lot of people who are unhappy today, and I'll tell you, if you talk with many of them, more often than not, I think you'll find that their unhappiness is connected to some of the hurts, some of the baggage that they're still carrying around. I've been to enough airports. I thank God for the time when they invented little rollers for the suitcases. When I was in a day when on a lot of trips, and we had to carry our bags everywhere, and now we just roll it. God doesn't want us to roll our guilt around. He wants to free us from our guilt. He wants to free us from our path. It's not something that he wants to adjust so that we carry. He wants to free us so that we're now able to live again, to be set free again. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But there's a second dimension of freedom that he offers as well. And I'd like to have you take that wristband there. And, you know, just before I do that, I would be remiss and if I didn't tell you what God says about the past. So let me just return just for a second before I go into the second dimension of freedom and listen to what the Word says, the Bible says about yesterday's pain. Isaiah 43, the Lord says, "Forget about what's happened. Don't think about the past. Instead, look at the new thing I'm going to do." And that's in your bulletin for those of you who'd like to read it at some time. Romans 3, all of us have sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who is merciful and freely takes away our sins. And I love Job 11 about our past. He says, "If you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your house, then free of fault you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than the noonday, and darkness will become like the morning." Would you just say amen to that with me? God has dealt successfully with our past. Whenever you put your faith in him and open up to him, he deals with your past. But he also wants to deal with our tomorrows. And if you would take that wristband, and if you would just do the same thing, only put this one on your right arm, if you wouldn't mind. This wristband represents tomorrow's uncertainty. Not only do we have pain in our past, yesterday's pain, but we have a lot of uncertainty about tomorrow. And God came to earth, lived among us, revealed himself through Jesus, who died on the cross, rose again, and he did that so that we could be free from tomorrow's uncertainty.
Hi, Michelle. Sorry to keep you waiting so long. We're a little bit understaffed this weekend, and they scheduled the appointments back to back.
That's okay. It's just the lady on the phone said you needed me to come in person to talk about the results from last week.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to talk to you in person. We have something we need to discuss. We got your initial test results back, and they came back positive. Your CT scans indicate that you have a series of tumorous growths on your pancreas and your liver. Michelle, you have cancer.
Cancer? Is it curable?
It's too early to tell right now, but it is imperative that you see a surgeon as quickly as possible.
Am I going to die?
Again, we don't want to jump to conclusions. It's a bit early to say, but the initial prognosis doesn't look good. However, there are a lot of new drugs, medications that have been developed, treatment programs that will help you. They'll give you more time. They'll even do more than that. I've taken the opportunity to contact one of our surgeons upstairs, and he's waiting for you right now. I've made an appointment for you, and you need to see him as quickly as possible, as soon as you're ready.
Okay. Can I just have a minute?
Of course. Michelle, I am sorry.
That scenario is all too common. Be hard-pressed to find someone who hasn't been touched and affected by either a pronouncement by a doctor to you personally that you've got cancer, or a friend or a family member. My mom and my sister both passed away from cancer. But there are other terms that produce the same type of thing in us, the uncertainty of tomorrow. When something like that happens, you know, you walk out of the office, you usually assume the worst. But there's some uncertainty that maybe there's a medicine that'll help, maybe it'll take place, but maybe it'll solve the problem, but maybe not. That uncertainty. That's why it's so dangerous for you and me to procrastinate, especially on making decisions about your eternity, about the living God. Will I follow him or not? You don't know about tomorrow. I assume I'll be around next week, but I don't know. You don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty about tomorrow. That's why you and I are admonished by Scripture to, boy, today, make sure that you're right with God. Make sure you take care of things. Don't procrastinate. We live in an uncertain world. When I was growing up as a kid, I had a fear of the dark. I've read and I've been told that when you're born, you have two fears, a fear of loud noises and a fear of falling. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've read. But I do know that from that point on into adulthood, we develop hundreds of fears. And I was afraid of the dark. But the greatest fear that I've had to confront over the years, and maybe you too, is the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? We today face it every day. What about our school systems? Will our kids, are they really being taught what's right? Will they be ready for the market, the job entry point down the road in 20 years? Forget about them getting a job. What about us? We've got pink slips being handed out. Will I be the next one to be laid off? What am I going to do? The economy looks bad. How are we going to invest my retirement? I can't retire now. It's kind of like it's impossible. I don't even know about my future. What about my health? I mean, there are decisions being made about the health industry, and I wonder where that's going to go. And I've been pretty healthy as a man. I'm 59 years old. I've been given a Jeep body, utilitarian body. It's not all that good looking, but man, it keeps on ticking all the time. And I'm thankful for that. The older you get, you just want to get from one point to the other. You don't care about the looks anymore. But there's some concerns about how will I provide for my health payments if I get laid off. What will I do? You see all of the uncertainty. Here's what God says about your uncertainty. It's in your bulletins. I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord, and I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. Jeremiah 29. Isaiah 54. The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end, says the Lord who loves you. Listen, God's got your past covered. He's got your future covered too. He's going to take care of things. In 2002, I resigned from my position that I held for 28 years as an executive pastor on a staff of a large church in the Fresno area. And I knew that I couldn't stay any longer. It was my time to leave, only I didn't have any place to go. I didn't have a job to go to. I had a lot of concerns, a lot of worries. And see, the worry and anxiety and fear are kind of the signs that you're stuck, you're caught in the future. This represents the future, and you get caught in the uncertainty of the future, and you're fearful of making any decisions in the present because you don't know what's going to happen. Well, when I stepped out in that, I was full of these worries and concerns of the uncertainty. But God gave me a statement, and I've remembered it, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. My wife even made me cards that when I write people thank you notes or send a word of encouragement to people, I will oftentimes use these cards that she makes because on the front of it, she puts the quote that God spoke to me. He says, I will use your pen. I will use your obedience as my pen to write your future. See, your and my future hasn't been written yet. Don't buy into the teaching of fatalism. The future is still yet to be written. You don't have to walk around bound with this on you in the future. God can set you free. He loves you. He takes care of things. He's got your future under his control. But there's a third dimension of freedom that God wants to offer. Andrew, I can't find my band. Would you please come up here and put one on me? Would you take this third band? It's going to represent today's pressures because we can get caught in today's pressures. And you're going to need someone to help you do this because I want you to take this third band and I want you to put it between the two wrists, between your two, just like you're handcuffing yourself together, okay? And you'll have to have someone help you. And if you've done it, or your friend has done it right, you'll kind of look like this. God sent his son, Jesus, to live among us and die for us. And by his power, raised him up from the dead so that he could break the power of our past. He could break the power of our tomorrow uncertainty. And he also comes to break the power that the pressures that we feel today can really cause us to bog down and get stuck in life. He came to deliver us from these today's pressures.
I was watching that.
What are you doing? I'm trying to clean up around here, and you've thrown your stuff everywhere. Ugh, and you're late. You're barely going to have time to take a shower and get ready for our daughter's recital.
Sweetie, it was almost a 12-hour workday. I'm exhausted. I mean, isn't someone going to be videotaping it?
You didn't go to her last recital because you said you had a long workday and you were going to bed early. And when we came home, you were watching TV.
Well, okay, let's be honest here. This is the fourth recital she's already had this year. I mean, between Becky's recitals, her practices, deadlines at work, Michael's T-ball games, his practices, I mean, when are we supposed to have some downtime, huh?
When you start saying no to your boss and come home more nights before the kids are asleep.
You know what? You would think it's that simple, wouldn't you? You know what? I got news for you. With the boss that I got, with the deadlines that he gives me, and the resources he gives me, you know, it's nothing like the perfect little world you got going on here.
Excuse me? I take care of the kids, this house, and I work.
Yeah, part-time. There's a big difference, sweetie. And I'm sorry, are you sure about the house part? Because I'm looking around and you got me fooled.
Well, gee, honey, but with what you bring home every month, I have to work just so we can keep this house. Where's Becky's dress?
How should I know?
Because you were supposed to pick it up.
Shoot, I forgot.
You forgot? You always do this.
Well, I can go to the cleaners and pick it up real quick. It's not a big deal.
No, you can't, because they're going to be closed in 10 minutes. This is the one thing I asked you to do all week, Rick, and you let me down and you let your daughter down.
You know everything that's been going on at work lately. I'm sorry, it slipped my mind.
It always slips your mind. You're either too busy, you're too tired, or you forget.
Wow, I would have ducked if I were him. Pressure, can anybody relate to that? There are certain phrases we use that suggest that all of us have faced pressure like that. And pressure can ruin relationships. It can get you stuck. Have you ever said, I'm bushed? I'm dead tired. I'm on my last leg. I'm about ready to throw in the towel. I'm burned out. I'm stressed out. I mean, how many phrases do we use to say, I'm under a lot of pressure? Romans chapter 8. what chapter is that? Paul talks about, he says, don't be conformed. Romans chapter 12, he talks about, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be pressed into the shape of the world. If you're not careful, things, just daily things like that, it can stress you out and cause you to be cynical. It can cause you to be apathetic. You can become an angry person at all the things that are going on today. Can I ask you a personal question? What stresses you out? What is it that binds you up? What is it that, not in the past or even the future, but what is it that causes, is it family problems? What are you stressed out? What are you burned out? What's tearing you down right now? What's draining your energy? God wants to free you from that. Because there is a transformation that can happen. You can yield to those pressures and become the type of person that the enemy wants you to become or the world is. Or you can yield to the transforming power of Jesus Christ that's revealed to us through the death and resurrection and be transformed, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, by the renewing of your mind. When you have pressures, here's what God says to do. I'll just read one of the verses. I've listed three of them for you. But in one of the verses, it says in Matthew 11, from the Message, the translation of the Message, Jesus is speaking. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me for real rest, and you'll recover your life, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. See, that's why we're here today. Jesus, I've got some past that needs to be dealt with. I've got some future uncertainty and unknowns that's causing me to worry. I've got some present pressures that are tearing me down and wearing me down. And when you combine them, I see that I'm bound and need to be free. Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he recognized his bondage to sin. He recognized his bondage to his selfishness. Narcissisticness. He's totally involved and engrossed in what he wants, not what God wants. He recognized that. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to free me from this bondage? Who is going to set me free? And in that moment of despair, the very next verse, it's like a revelation happens, and he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus died on a cross for you. It's the greatest statement of God's love. Then he was raised by the power of the Father. It's the greatest statement of God's power. We have a loving God and we have a powerful God. A loving God who's powerful and a powerful God who's loving. And that God, his name is Jesus Christ, who revealed himself, can break the bondage of our past, can break the bondage of our future, and can break the bondage that holds us subject to the pressures of today. If you believe that today, you will be set free. I'm going to ask Sandy to come, and she's going to lead us in a song entitled, Our Chains Are Broken, We're Set Free. And I have a sense in me today that God really does want to set some of you free today. I believe all of us in this room, whether you know it or not, you need to have God help you in this area of freedom. There isn't one person that's exempt. There's something that all of us get caught in. But there may be some here today that as I've talked, as you've watched the dramas, maybe as you've heard the worship and the singing that's offered to the Lord, maybe you've identified something specific that you know you need to be freed from. And if you have, I'm going to invite you just to stand wherever you are. I don't expect everyone to stand. As I said, I believe all of us need to experience freedom. But some of you have pinpointed, you've identified something today that God wants to free you from. Maybe it's in your past. Maybe it's in the uncertainty of the future. Or maybe it's in your present life. But if you stand in just a few moments, we're going to sing this through one time, and I'm going to lead us, and I believe God's going to free you. Stand, those of you who have identified something specific. I don't know if that'll be 5, 10, more than that, but whoever you are, just stand, lead us in that song, standing one time through.
My chains are gone.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. See where
standing here, I sense that I'm supposed to lead you in a prayer. And if you're here today, whether you're seated or standing, and you are a candidate for God's freedom in some dimension, I'd like to have you pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today putting my faith in you. I want to focus on you and begin to walk with you, because I know that you are the one who can free me. I need to be freed from my past sins. I've not only done wrong, I'm broken and need to be fixed. I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. I need your help in the future, because I'm uncertain about tomorrow. And God, these pressures today are tearing me down. And I want freedom from my past, from my tomorrows, and from my todays. Now, Jesus, I thank you for confirming in the hearts of the people that prayed that, not from their mind, but from their hearts, those who really need and stand in an understanding of their need for freedom. I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, you'll do that, Lord. Break those ties. Break those bonds. And even as we sing this song again and we begin to break these bonds together as a congregation at some point, I ask, God, that the reality of the Holy Spirit will start that work and carry it on from this point on. Sing it again with me. And at some point, would you just allow the chains to be broken at some point in this song?
Hallelujah, Lord.
My chains are gone.
By grace, transformation by grace, not by works, but by grace. Thank you for saving us today. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for delivering us. It's so uncomfortable, Lord, just to have our hands tied for a few moments, but how liberating it is to be able to lift your hands. And just, would you just lift your hands and just wave them? How sweet the freedom that you offer, God. We're not restricted any longer, able to now live life to its fullest. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters here today, that freedom would be ever growing in them. And everybody said amen to that. Do you want to grow in your freedom? Put your faith in Jesus. It's not always instantaneous, folks. It starts when you put your faith in Jesus. It continues as you keep your focus on Jesus. And it continues to work its way out as you walk with Jesus and you walk with his people. So much freedom is available for us. If you're here today and you've prayed that prayer as I led you, and it was the first time you've done something like that, and you're inviting Jesus to come into your life for the first time and you want to develop a relationship with him, I would like to have you come forward as we dismiss people, because I'd like to give you a Bible and a packet so that to help you with your growth with the Lord. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, we'd love to have you come as well. We'd love to give you a gift today, this Easter, for you to take home. We believe that God has something great in store for you, and we'd like to help you if at all possible. Elders, prayer teams, would you please come? If there's anyone who's opening your heart to the Lord the first time, come down. Let us give you a packet. God bless you. Happy Easter. Have a wonderful rest of the day.